Pastor Tim invited me this past week to share with you today. I had about four things that God's been speaking to me, working in me on. And at my desk at work, I put in front of me, I'm allowed to do this, and I very much appreciate that. Over here I have my prayer list with people I'm praying for. It's taken up a lot of space. And then I have like a verse for the day or the week or however long I feel like I want to keep reading it. And right now what's up there is the first chapter of Romans. Previous to that was Ephesians. But what's about to come up here is going to be the sixth chapter of Ephesians, which I want to share with some with you today. And it'll be familiar to a lot of you who've been in the faith for a long, long time. But we're going to put a little different emphasis on the scripture rather than what you normally hear. So if you want to turn in your Bibles, click on your shortcuts, whatever you have to do there, to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And as you're doing that, I guess what I'm going to call this message, this discourse, is a call to arms. A call to arms. And that reminds me of something silly that one of the nurses where I work at the hospital, she had a little picture upon her computer. And you know how sometimes you see things and they're kind of chuckle-worthy, but if it hits you at the right time, you can't stop laughing? It had a picture of a guy with these big paws and everything. It said, "You have the right to bear arms." And it was a guy with bare arms. And I don't know, that just struck me funny. So I'm glad we have the right to bear arms today. Ephesians 6. Different translations. I'm going to just read you what I have here. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places or high places. Therefore, or because of this, take up the whole armor of God so you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Now, whenever you see the word therefore, it's there for a reason. It means what I just shared with you or what just happened has a purpose, and here's why. And the purpose here that Paul was writing to the church at Ephesus through the Holy Spirit to the church in Defiance, and everywhere you read, it's for you. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord." The word "finally" means there's things previous to that that I'd encourage you to read about, because it's very instructive and it's very enlightening in the scheme of what's happening in our world and our society today. But "finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Boy, that's a good t-shirt, isn't it? That's a good bumper sticker. That's a good hat. But you know what that is? That's a good believer. That's a strong believer. That's a martyred believer, one who has crucified themselves. How frequently do we do that? Crucify yourselves daily. Wow, every day. Yep, we in this part of God's plan for the ages, there are some things that it benefits us to do repetitively. There are some things we don't have to do. We'll talk about this in a moment. But we do anyway repetitively. And they're okay in some cases. In some cases, they're a crutch. But there are some things that is good for us to do at all of our levels, spirit, soul, and body, to do on a regular basis. And one of those things that's really good for us to do is to make a determination that we're going to be strong today, even though we might feel weak. Strong in ourselves. "Finally, my brethren, be strong" where? In the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Let's talk. We're going to go on down and read the bottom part, which is usually the best part or the most emphasized part of this passage, which is talks about the whole armor of God, the breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the Spirit. I want to encourage you, if you want to dive into that deeper, you can. We'll probably touch on it here, but that's not the emphasis the Lord's shared with me about this. What he shared with me on this is two words, the word "in" And then later on, another word that I'll share with you at that time. But be strong in the Lord. In the Lord. Jesus said that I and my Father are one. The Father is in me, I am in him. And the Holy Spirit comes into our life, as the scriptures tell us. He comes into us to dwell in us. We learned it in Sunday school that he's here in our heart, but we know what that means. That means that we're one with the Lord. And yet, we have an omnipotent God who is strong in power and might. And what kind of power and might, I'm about to tell you. But he lives in this house, works through this mind, this soul, and sustains life in this spirit man, spirit person that we are. Joined with us. Talk about a mismatch. What a mess I was when I came into the picture. I mean, here's a perfect God, and here's whatever this was. A pile of rocks, a pile of heap, a pile of dung. Just horrible. Brought nothing to the game whatsoever. And yet, he looked out and said, I love you. And he proved that love by sending his son to step in front of between myself and you and death, and took the punishment for that, for your sins. He took punishment for my sins. He was punished. The Bible says what? He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. He took everything, like even though we didn't deserve what he came here for. But there's a reason Jesus came to do that. Because God loves us and he wanted to become one with us. So he could be in us and we could be in him. So we could be in him and he could be in us. We're going to talk about in the Spirit. We're going to talk about how he said, be strong in the Lord. Because you know what, we say that, and I have to admit that as a believer for a number of years, some things come out of my heart and the spirit, and they're good, but it would be almost like having delicious mashed potatoes today and every day for the rest of your life. No, thank you. We need some diversity. We need some variety. We need some things different, that, although they're good. Now, it's not something we want to do every day. Now, conversely, a bath is something we should do every day or every other day. And we do have to have meals every day, a couple of times, three, some other five, some a little more, a little less. But not the same thing. But when it comes to this quality, that Jesus came and died for us so God could be in us and we could be in him, that we can't equate that physically, we can't mentally, we can't put that into a picture that we can draw perfectly to show it to anybody. It's difficult enough to try to explain to people who aren't interested in hearing what you say, but it's interesting to share with them, the Lord is in me, and I'm in him, and to watch God save other souls, even though they don't understand it and we don't understand it, but we know we're saved. We know it's real. It's hard to say those things. It's hard to do those things. But what does it mean when it says to be strong in the Lord? Does that mean we just stand up in certain situations, what we just shared there, which there's a reason for those? And then we just proclaim, or we just in our mind, we just think, now, I'm going to grip my teeth and flex my muscles. I'm weak right now. I don't feel like I'm up to this task, but I'm going to make a decision that God's strength. Lord, you're in here. You're with me. You know what's going on. Please step front and center. That's a good thing. That's why, because we're one with him. That's why he sent the Holy Spirit, so he could be one in us. That's why when he said, put on the whole armor of God, that was a way, an allegory, a sample, an example of, I'm sorry, of how God's projection, what he projected to the enemies who of sin, the devil basically, and all the principality, the powers, the might, dominions, and I'm going to try to dig into that in a moment. There's a way God greets those things. There's a way that God stands up to those things. And Paul compared it to wearing armor. And he gave, it's interesting, he gave all the parts of the armor a name and a purpose and so forth. But that's God's armor that belongs to him. He told us to be strong in his power and to put on his armor. So we talked about my size here a little bit ago. Now, if there's this great big 6'5", 250-pound criminal dude who walks up to my front door and knocks on it. He's got guns and weapons and everything, and I'm going to walk up and open the door. I'm not going to intimidate that guy very much, am I? Did somebody open the door? Oh. Nope. But let me strap this armor on and arm myself with a few weapons, pull that faceplate down, open that door, and let's see what he's looking at. Who are you? You're about to find out. Isn't that amazing? And I have found myself, I'm going to tell on myself a little here. It's a perpetual thing with me. I'm constantly learning, constantly challenged, because every day we're constantly challenged by these attacks of the enemy, the wiles of the devil, the principalities of powers, and so forth. It has to be a conscious thing, just like being crucified every day. I wake up in the morning, I have to decide at some point, today I'm going to crucify myself. I'm going to deny myself. I am no longer alive by the old rules. That man's dead, died on a cross. But I'm alive, I'm anew. Every day's a new day. This is the day the Lord's made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it, but it's raining. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it, but my car broke down. Well, if I'm in myself, I'm going to feel pretty bad about that. But every day when challenges come to me, it benefits me to stop, literally to stop where I am, try to turn the off key on my brain. It's hard for some people to do that because the mind and your brain is a battlefield of sorts. That's where things come in and out and we process. That's also where the only place the enemy has any kind of a, what he thinks is a foothold, a leverage, because he has no spiritual power. It's only mental, prince of power of the air kind of thing. But everything that comes into my mind, for some reason, it's always a negative thing, no matter how good my life's going. It's always worry. It's always concern for things I have no control over, or worry about things that's already happened, and I can't do anything about that either. And the inclination is for me to go, I gotta fix this. What am I going to do? How am I going to approach this? So many tentacles out there. So many irons in the fire. So many of this, that, and the other. It's coming in all around me. And that's why I have to stop and say, Kurt, today, be strong in the power of his might. Finally, Kurt, be strong in the Lord. There's a scripture that says his strength is made perfect in weakness. And I thought, well, that sounds really wonderful. That sounds really biblical. What does it mean? That means my weakness may be ever present in this life, but it doesn't have to be ever engaged because the Lord is one with me. We can make a decision, and just saying, I'm going to let the Lord handle my problems today. It pays us to know a little bit of what that means. That's why we have a word to communicate to us what it means if we're going to let God handle the things for us. Because sometimes he'll want us to go this way, but we want to go that way, and that makes sense to go that way to us. But we have to allow him. We have to allow the fact that he's in us and we are in him. We're one with him. We have to make a purposeful decision to allow him to be Lord of that. To allow his, that's the power of the Lord, is that he is Lord. You see, we like to think in terms of muscles and wrestling and fight. The word fight, man, oh man, it's I guess time for all the politicians to campaign because election's coming up. And almost at the end of most of these, we'll fight for you. We'll fight. We'll fight. That word's just like, man, everybody's fighting. You got to fight for what's right. You got to fight and do all this thing. Well, you know what? It's time, because there's always going to be fights as long as we're alive here in this world and at this time in God's plan of things, in this time frame. But here's the part that where I always have to stop myself and make myself pay attention to this. This might be a battle, or these may be battles, but this war is over. It's over. It's done. Have you ever given even, let's say, 2 or 3 minutes to a meditative state to realize that we say things that are accurate? We're going to let the Lord fight our battles. We're going to let the Lord be strong in us. We got to face this. We got to stand up for that, whatever. But we're not going to lose any way it goes. Because when the nails went through the hands on that cross, and when the last breath came out of Jesus' body that's recorded for us, I've always believed this, where he said, "It's finished." The next to the last breath recorded was interesting. "Father, forgive them because they have no idea what they're doing." They have no idea what they're doing. It sounds good in King James English, "for they know not what they do." It means we're totally ignorant of anything going on, and he loved us anyway. He still does. That means I'm dead now too. So these battles that we have to fight, we have the high ground. Do you know what high ground means in a battle, in a confrontation? It means you have the advantage. You have the leverage. Why? Well, I like to think of it because I think it's a God thing. He always has the high ground, right? I'm one with him. So that's why you can know going into any challenge, whether it be, doesn't matter, I could name what they are, but I'm going to kind of focus that here on what the scripture called it, principalities and powers, and those religious words. I want to talk about that for a minute. Because we know our challenges today are having to work with unbelievers. And we love them, and but they keep resisting us, but we still want to reach out and do what we can to show Jesus to them. Maybe we have financial problems. Maybe we have problems in our family, our home. Maybe sickness, illness, death. Death. That's challenges we face every day. Well, we're a believer, and it's all going to be great and good. And it is. It really is. But we live on this side of a time frame in God's plan. Some of it we know. Most of it we don't, I think. But the important parts we do. He loves us. That's pretty important. And while the devil's in his last throes of doing what he does, and people who are frustrated with life and don't know the answers and trying to do things on their own, and they're lost to themselves, to their family, they're lost spiritually. That's why all of these things are going on in the world, and it presents challenges to us. It keeps rubbing against us. It keeps attacking us. Sometimes they threaten to kill us. And in a sense of what Pastor spoke about the last 2 Sundays, sometimes they appear to be successful to end our life on this earth. We call them martyrs. But even death, the worst death we could think of, is an instant, the scripture tells us, is an instant invitation, an instant transportation, an instant audience in the presence of Jesus. That's why if we're in God and he's our strength, we don't have to fear death. Now, we don't have to like it, and we pray against it, and we can resist it. We can lay hands on people. We can believe God. Sometimes we do that, and folks still go on to heaven. Let me talk about it a little bit. This is the book of Kurt right here. This is not scripture, but as I share with it, you take it and judge it for yourselves as the Lord uses the word in you to do so. There's a difference between dying and being killed and the kind of death that's in the world. There's a difference for the believer, those who know Christ as their Savior, and those who don't. The Bible says it's the thief that comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But he has come to give us life more abundant. It says that precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. It's a homegoing. It's an invitation. It's a transportation, like I said, to the presence of God, to a standing ovation from Jesus, a one-person standing ovation. When Stephen was stoned to death in the scriptures, he looked up, and he saw the Son of God standing at the right hand of the Father. Well, I'm not worthy. Well, are we thinking about the old person or the reborn person who we still don't, I guess, be arrogant about that? But God said he who knew no sin was made to be sin for us so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. If Jesus became our sin and we became what he is, which is blameless before God. I think it's Mercy Me that sings a song called Flawless. I think I'm right. And you think about that and you think, well, I have plenty of imperfections. Well, we still see through a dark veil, sort of. But the power of God, when it says that be able to stand, be strong in the Lord, to be strong in the Lord is to see our lives through a disciplined vision that we see ourselves as God sees us and we're humble and grateful for it. We have the ability to come boldly to his throne, and only those who are blameless can do that. Only those who are faultless can do that. Only those who are holy can do that. But here we are. Here comes Kurt. Well, I'm not worthy of that. Stop. That's one of these attacks on our spiritual mind. From God's standpoint, he's made you worthy. Not of works, not of anything we did, whatever. We've seen what mess we can make. But because he's in us, and we're in him, we're one, united together with him, we can come, not just, Papa, you got a minute? And I have a question for you. I know you're really busy because millions of people are praying per second here. But could I possibly have just a little, I won't bother you, Lord. I'll come back at a better time. No, the Bible says we can, hi, Dad, here I am. I got something. By the way, thank you. I have a great need, sir. Please help me. We can come boldly to the throne. He's already given us permission. Do you agree with that? We have permission to come to God in times when it's difficult. Now, let me bring this to where I want it to be here. I've got a bunch of papers here, and I've got about two sentences in, but we won't go through all of them. What it means to be strong in the Lord, and it's always better to know your enemy, to know as much about your enemy as possible. Now, the way we can know as much about our enemy, which is not your neighbor, by the way, and it's not humans, our enemies are the principalities and powers, the wiles of the devil, all of those spiritual wickedness in high places, those things that manipulate and trick and govern humans. Those are the enemy. We learn how our enemy operates and who our enemy is the same way we learn about who our Lord is. It's through the Word, through what Scripture tells us. That's the dictionary. All the Bible is, I've always said this, the dictionary of God's vocabulary is Scripture. Now, through time and decades and centuries, we twist and mold it and polish it a little bit and retranslate it and reinterpret it into different things. But God will watch over his word to perform it. That's why we can have confidence that what we have in our hands today, in most some way or another, has the message that he loves us, we're forgiven. The whole gospel message has made it to 2022 in this word that we have. And this word also tells us who our enemy is and what we're to do about it, what we can do about it. And of course, it chastises us when we don't do it, even though we're still loved. And even though we as believers fail in how we deal with enemies and challenges against us, even though there are times that we have failed and likely continue to do so, he even said, little children, I'm going to write some things to you so you don't sin. But if you do, you have an advocate with Jesus Christ, who's always pleading your case, come back. If you fall once or fall 1,000 times, just keep getting up. You're okay. You're coming home. Coming home. Yep. Okay, you're forgiven. On your way. 2 weeks later, you do the same stupid mistake, whatever. And this, the Lord teased me about this. Teased me, literally. I'm praying, Father, I just ask your mercy again. I've just done this thing over and over so many times, blah, blah, blah. I hear in my spirit, I heard a, hold it, hold it, hold it. What are you talking about? Well, no. What are you speaking about? Did you not ask me to forgive? Yep. Do I not forget and cast them into the sea of forgetfulness? Yep. What are you talking about? Why are you carrying a load around that's not relevant anymore to you in any way. It's gone. It's gone. This brain we have, we don't do that. I don't know that we can do that. There's a, Rhonda, who is that actor, actress? Mary Lou Henner? That remembers everything. From when she was a child, I heard her speaking on several interviews. You know who Mary Lou Henner is? She was on a show called Taxi. She's a Hollywood star, but she seems like a good individual. She knows every, she has never forgotten anything. And she was tested and asked about, where were you in 1978? I was on the set of Taxi. I was sitting in a green chair. I had on a red dress. They looked back at that episode. There it is. They can verify it, you see. Then there's another person who had the same condition. There's a name for it. Forgive me. I don't know what it is. And she was broken. She couldn't forget anything. But Mary Lou couldn't forget anything. But this lady was so distraught because do you know how hard it is? I don't know how hard it is to remember every time somebody offended, there was an offense, an attack on me. That's what was wrong with this latter person because it was the bad things that just overwhelmed. Why is it bad things that are overwhelming everybody now? That's all we think of in the world. A few years ago, and I only know this by title, I've never seen anything, but I ran across YouTube that talked about this series of movies, and somebody was talking about them, called Purge or something to that effect. I can't tell you for sure. But the premise was that there was one day that the authorities eliminated all laws. You don't have to do anything for 24 or 48 hours or whatever it is. There is no law, nothing. It's all gone. Do what you want. Of course, the very first implication is everybody just went crazy and started killing each other and stealing from each other, and that's right. Because in a world that doesn't have Jesus, that doesn't acknowledge him, doesn't want to love, even though I think it's in every person to do it, whether they're born again or not, because we're all in the image of God, that's down in there. That's the first thing that comes, the first rattle out of the box is what can I get away with? What can I do? The moment in our social structure, these challenges we have in our country, the moment that authority has been attacked or questioned by other higher authorities, immediately you see surges in crime. You see people just going lawless. Hey, there's nobody going to hold me accountable. I'm going to take what I want, get what I want, do what I want to do, hurt who I want to hurt. But it's not the humans. Ultimately, individuals responsible for their own actions, but it's not the humans where that really comes from. That comes from the evil that's in the earth. That comes from sin. That comes from a world that's lost without hope or purpose, trying to do what they think they need to do to look out for number one. So every time anything is removed, an element of control or anything, there's lawlessness. But Jesus said this. He said that when the enemy comes in, When you're approached by these things, when the enemy comes in, then like a flood, you should raise up a standard. The Lord will raise up a standard against them. Now, for years, I heard that scripture emphasized the other way, that the enemy would come in like a flood, and then the Lord would raise up a standard. But that's not how it's, I don't believe that's how it is at all. Because we have a God who doesn't have to even accommodate enemies or floods or whatever, but he has because he loves us and wanted to save us. So here's where I'm going with all of this. The challenges we have today in our culture are not human beings. They are the enemies that he talked about here. In Ephesians 6, he talked about principalities and powers. That's mentioned 6 times in the scriptures, principalities and powers. When you read that, you think it sounds like kind of a religious statement to people, but what does that mean? Well, it means authorities in control. There's also a strong spiritual tie to it, that spiritual control, spiritual influence, people who have spiritual leadership. But literally, when you read that out through the versions that I've had an opportunity to look at, it means those who are in control or elements that are controlling you, that are in charge of you. Principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this age, spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, that all of that sounds very spiritual, but it's not as spiritual as you might think. Spiritual wickedness can only be manifest through humans, just like goodness can be manifest through humans. People who want to, I thought about how I want to say this, so I want to say it right. People that want to govern other people or control other people for their own ambition and their own reasons will always be corrupt. Always corrupt. It doesn't matter which side of the aisle or other in the middle you are or whatever. Humans, men, women, we can't handle that kind of power. And in this time frame in God's overall plan, there's still a devil out there walking around like a roaring lion seeking whom he can devour. It's still very real. Now, we just happen to be not one of the whoms he can. Because he's toothless where we're concerned. If you really believe what you believe. If you're strong in the Lord and the power of his might. But there is an enemy still out there able to do these things. There's still influence. The wiles of the devil, influences and manipulations. We need the strength of the Lord, and we need to know exactly what that is. We need to know exactly how to apply it spiritually, mentally, and physically in our lives so that we're not tricked by these manipulations or these wiles of the devil, so that we don't assign the wrong enemy to ourselves in these principalities and powers. Everybody's influenced. Everybody's serving somebody. They may think they're serving themselves. They may decry, I don't believe that there's a God. There's no proof of a God. And here's one that I've never understood. God is dead. So there was a God, and he was alive, and somehow he died. Well, he did once, but he didn't stay that way, thank you very much. The only way the world can see the light and see this strength, this ability for us to stand with peace, with purpose, with power, with forgiveness, with humility. The only way that anybody of these enemies, these people who are manipulated and they have made themselves against us, the only way they can see the light is through us. The sky's not going to open up one night and God write a big thing in the sky as a sign so that everybody will realize he's really real. They'll know he's real through us. What's that old song we used to sing? They'll know we're Christians by our love. Not just because we say it, but they see it in us. They see it in our actions. Spiritual warfare, which is what's happening now. The devil hasn't accepted the fact, apparently, that it's already over. But there's still an engagement because we're humans and we still have those challenges. But the scripture says in Corinthians, it says, for though we war in the flesh, though we're living here physically and all this stuff, we don't war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they're not fleshly, but they're powerful through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Two things here. I'm going to, maybe 5-10 more minutes, I'll wrap it up. We have to be, as Christians, we have to be strong in the Lord from an offensive perspective and a defensive perspective. You know, when you say offensive, that means offended. Did you know that? I watched a ball game yesterday. I watched these teams play. They're on offense. They're trying to offend the other team. They're challenging. They're pushing against them. They're trying to get to a goal. We've made games out of it, but in life, that's the purpose. When the enemies of our life, you may have challenges, each individual to each yourselves, different, maybe the same. We have to be spiritually minded and allow on the strength of the Lord and the power of his might defensively so we know that we're grounded, we're protected. We just reaffirm to ourselves, I'm a child of the Most High God. I was lost, now I'm found. I was dead, now I'm alive. I was sick, now I'm healed. I was crazy, now I'm getting better. I was short, and I'm not getting better. So, okay. You make sure you're grounded, and then the next thing is to go on the offense, to go on the offensive. You're not trying to fight to win a war. You're engaging to win souls. That's why you don't fight souls. You don't fight people. But boy, it's sure easy to, isn't it? You see people's faces and you hear what comes out of their mouth. They see your face and hear what comes out of your mouth, my mouth. Some like it, some don't. Sometimes we make mistakes. We do those things. So people are against people and against color and culture against culture, whatever. Our enemy is at a higher level manipulating all of this. But we have the Lord. We're one with Him. You know when Jesus said, I and my Father are one? Guess who that applies to now? I and my Father are one. Oh, I better clean the living room. I better mow the grass. He knows it anyway. Even talking about your spirit, what you do when you're with people, what you do when you're by yourself, everywhere, here, there, yonder, all over, He's with us. If we remember that, that'll stabilize us. That'll eliminate so much temptation. But we have to stop ourselves and remind ourselves, today I'm going to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I'm seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, far above all principality and powers and might and dominion. Oh, and by the way, every name that's named in this world, the world to come, doesn't matter. I love how the Lord just, people would tell me when I was sending emails, I put a lot of exclamation points. I think every scripture should have about 20 exclamation points. Because God says it to us. That way, he says it to us linearly. He says it agonally, every way possible, in every language possible, over and over again. When are you going to get it? I love you. I'm here for you. I'm never going to leave you or forsake you. Be strong. Let me be the front, the center, the back, the top, the bottom, the in-between. You just stay off in the corner here, but you're going to be the benefactor of all of this because I love you. You know the story of the kid gets bullied. He says, I'm going to tell my dad. Well, if that other dad's bigger than your dad, you're still in trouble. But there ain't nobody bigger than our dad. There's nothing higher. There's nothing greater. There's no one who loves us more. Why? Because He is love. And we're one with Him. And it's His choice. Wasn't our choice. We're going the other direction. But He found us. He came for us. We didn't seek Him out. He sought us out and lifted us out of these manipulations, these wiles of the enemy, this principality, the power, people who offend, people who threaten us. Now that He's my Lord, there is no high ground for our enemy. We all still, because of our flesh, when the word death falls on our ear, the word cancer, things we have become conditioned to that are horrible. But it's easy to say, well, I won't fear that because I have Jesus. But our bodies, and it's a challenge. It's a challenge. Because nobody, the Loretta Lynn passed away just recently, but she sang a song, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. And we've all been touched by that. Everybody's going to be touched by it. Because the Bible says it's appointed to man once to die, and after death, the judgment, and so forth. Now, Jesus took my death, what death really means. That's what He did. So whatever happens to me here in the flesh, it's different than being killed. Maybe it's my home going. It's going to always be a good thing because my Lord and I are one. He has the keys of death. Oh, and hell. Oh, and the grave. Because His is empty. So they might stuff me in something temporarily. But 1 Thessalonians says that one day He's coming back. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. It's interesting, in the old languages, there death and asleep are put in the same. Doesn't mean you're just sitting mindless and that nothing is happening, you don't exist anymore. When you're gone out of this body, you're in the presence of the Lord. But this body is sort of in a holding pattern because one day it will come back. The dead in Christ will rise, and we, or those, the Bible says, we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So why don't you just comfort one another with this? So the worst battle that you find yourself engaged in No matter the outcome, if you stand in the strength of the Lord, and then you've pushed back in the strength of the Lord, pushing back against resisting the enemy, the devil, whatever. The Bible says he'll flee when you do that. Then the worst that this world has to offer, including death, is not really death like it used to be for those who are in Jesus. And he's in them. So there's a war supposed to be going on that we've already won. There are battles we're engaged in on a daily basis that we need to get out of the way and let Papa answer the door. It's a decision that we have to make, though. We choose. Choose you this day, the scripture said in another context. But we make a decision that today I'm going to crucify myself. I'm going to make sure I don't want to do anything this body wants to do for its own evil satisfaction. I don't want to do that. Here's another thing. I'm closing right now. He said, if you abide in me and I abide in you and my words abide in you, you ask what you will and it will be done for you of the Father which is in heaven. If you abide in me. So we're in the Lord. He's in us. But to abide means what? Lord, will you pay us a visit? Why? I live there. I've done it myself. Let's pray for a visitation of the Lord tonight. I'm not condemning anybody that says that because I've done it. I know what I mean. You know what I mean. But God says, you know what I mean. I don't have to visit. I'm in you. I'm already there. And I'm never going to leave. And that he's going to abide in us. And as we abide in him and his words in it, he said, ask what you will and it'll be done for you. What a powerful thing for him to say. But abiding in him means we deny ourselves and take up his cross. Realize we're going to be persecuted like he was. Except the outcome is already successful for us. Now we need to influence as many others as we can for him. Be strong in the Lord, church. Be strong in the Lord. Let me pray for you. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity to try to put these pieces together as best I can because there were so many and so much that you've given me to work on me. But I pray that the hearts open today will be good ground. I know they will be. And your word will find whatever this precious group of people need to accomplish, that you want to accomplish in them today. Thank you for our security and our safety. And thank you for your love and your grace and your mercy that will be with us to always make us strong in you. In Jesus' name.